Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back. This is As It Is, a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Listen carefully and read along with us. Today, we begin with the thoughts of the President of Lithuania. Her country was once under the domination of the Soviet Union. What she has to say about Russia's recent actions in the world will be of interest to you. Then, we will talk about the politics of choosing a national language. The situation in India is at the top of our list today. As It is coming to you from VOA. Now, here is part one. The presidents of Russia and Lithuania are both experts in the sport of karate. Some observers say the two leaders are equal, at least when they compete with words. In Lithuania, July is the season of song festivals, like this one in the capital, Vilnius. But right now, Lithuania is not experiencing much harmony with its eastern neighbor, Russia. In fact, President Dalia Grybauskaitė sees just the opposite.
Now we're seeing aggressive rhetoric, aggressive behavior, aggressive propaganda, and informational wars.
The Lithuanian leader warns that what she calls great Russian chauvinism is fueling rebellion in Ukraine. Pro-Russian rebels there want to separate from the rest of the country. Ms. Grybauskaitė recently won a second 5-year term as president. Lithuania is the largest of the three Baltic countries. All three are members of the European Union and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. President Grybauskaitė warns that Russia's interference in Ukraine this year marks a dangerous turn in Russia's relations with its neighbors. Ukraine, the United States, and some European countries have accused Russia of permitting fighters and weapons to reach the pro-Russian rebels in Ukraine. Russian officials have denied the claim. President Vladimir Putin and other Russian officials defend the country's takeover of Crimea earlier this year. They say it followed a legal election in which Crimeans voted to join Russia. Like in eastern Ukraine, a large population of Russian speakers lives in the Baltic countries. President Grybauskaitė criticized the Russian government for acting against neighboring countries that have Russian speakers. She compared this policy to Germany's actions before World War II.
We're seeing that the methods which have been used in the 30s of last century starting to be introduced even now in the 21st century.
In answer to Russia's recent actions, President Grybauskaitė said her country is increasing defense spending. Lithuania aims to reach NATO's target of 2% of gross domestic product for defense. Lithuania is also working to reduce its dependency on Russia for all its natural gas. President Grybauskaitė expects these actions will help guarantee her nation's independence, even with Russia's new strength in the region. Choosing an official national language can be difficult, at times even dangerous. This is especially true for countries that have many languages and a colonial past, like India, for example. In India, deciding whether to use English or Hindi includes issues of social standing, history, nationalism, and even geography. It is a socio-political geo-lingua debate. It is the politics of language. Ana Mateo explains.
The question of whether to use English or Hindi is filled with India's colonial history and class struggle. And India is again debating the issue. New government leadership is moving toward making Hindi the official language of government communications. Prime Minister Narendra Modi prefers to use Hindi. Since taking office, Mr. Modi uses mostly Hindi when speaking in Parliament and with Indian officials or foreign leaders. Neerja Chaudhary is an independent political analyst. She says Mr. Modi is the son of a poor tea seller. He has come through the ranks or worked his way up in life. No one questions the Prime Minister's personal language choice. However, many criticize his plan to make English second to Hindi when it comes to the working language of government. Hindi is widely spoken in the North. The North is also the power center of the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party. The southern and eastern states in India have always chosen among local languages, or English. About 50 years ago, efforts to make Hindi the country's only official language caused violent riots in the South. Perhaps wanting to avoid repeating that mistake, Prime Minister Modi showed that he has no problem with the English language. After watching the launch of a satellite in the southern Andhra Pradesh state, Mr. Modi surprised many by making his first speech in English since becoming Prime Minister.
My congratulations to our brilliant space scientists and the Department of Space for yet another successful launch of the Polar Satellite.
Some political observers say that was an intelligent move to calm the South, where many of the scientists call home. But officials in New Delhi continue to be under pressure to use Hindi, and many are clearly unhappy about that. India's upper middle class includes many senior, or top, government officials. They grew up mostly speaking English in their homes and in school. They can speak Hindi, but their written communication skills are often poor. So to keep in step with the Prime Minister, many are trying to quickly improve their Hindi. But critics say it is English that connects this diverse country. Neerja Chaudhary says it is a question of progress in today's widening world.
And why should we give up a natural advantage that we've had all these years?
The debate will most likely continue as Prime Minister Modi and the BJP try to establish a Hindu nationalist party with a growing middle class. I'm Ana Mateo.
We hope you learned something interesting today on As It Is. Please remember to join us again tomorrow. Learning English is a part of the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said efforts are not ending to find a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas militants in Gaza. America's top diplomat said, "This is a broad effort. At this moment, we are working toward a brief 7-day ceasefire in honor of Eid." The holiday of Eid marks the end of the Muslim observance of Ramadan. He stood next to Egyptian Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry as he spoke in Cairo. Mr. Kerry said details of a framework or guidelines toward a stop in the fighting are still under discussion. He said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told him he wants to find a way to make progress, although Israeli media said Mr. Netanyahu's cabinet had rejected the framework. Mr. Kerry said a break in fighting will give everyone involved the chance to examine issues that have caused weeks of deadly violence between Israelis and Palestinians. Mr. Kerry, Mr. Shoukry, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon have been trying to get both Israelis and Palestinians to stop the violence. More than 800 Palestinians have now died in Israel's offensive against Hamas militants. Reports say Thursday was the deadliest day of the 18-day-long military campaign. Among the victims were at least 15 Palestinians in a school operated as a shelter by the United Nations. Israel said one of its soldiers was killed in Gaza on Friday. That brought the number of soldiers killed to at least 32. So far, rocket and mortar attacks by Palestinians have killed at least 2 Israeli civilians. On Friday, rockets launched by Hamas set off warning signals around Tel Aviv. Several rockets were shot down, but one hit a building in Ashkelon. No one was hurt. In the West Bank, many Palestinians marched in the northern village of Hawara in support of Gaza. Thousands also demonstrated over the night. Many observers are calling that demonstration the biggest protest in the West Bank in about 10 years. Protesters in East Jerusalem threw rocks and Molotov cocktails at an Israeli security point. Palestinian health workers said one person was shot dead and 200 others were wounded when Israeli troops returned fire. The unrest continued into Friday, with reports of 4 more deaths near Nablus and Hebron. At the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the Old City of Jerusalem, Israeli security forces barred men under the age of 50 from entering the area. The action led to more clashes between the opponents. Earlier this week, Hamas leader Khaled Meshaal said he supported a stop in fighting and set his own conditions. Hamas demands that Israel eases restrictions on the 1.8 million Palestinians in Gaza. The group also calls for the release of hundreds of prisoners seized in the West Bank last month, and it wants Egypt to open its border with Gaza. Both Israel and Egypt consider Hamas a security threat. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Now, the special English program,
American Stories. Last week, we broadcast the second of our programs called A Princess of Mars. The story is from a series of books by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Last week, we told how John Carter was captured by a group of warriors on the planet Mars. Later, he became one of them by defeating a huge warrior in a fight. He is still a captive, but he is treated with honor because he is a skilled fighter. We left John Carter at the beginning of a fierce battle between the Green Warriors and their main enemy. The enemy came close to the Green Martians in huge airships. The Green Martians attacked. John Carter continues to tell about what happens to him in Edgar Rice Burroughs' story, A Princess of Mars.
Another of the large airships exploded high. Members of the crew fell to the ground. The huge ship lost control and began turning again and again. Soon, it was close to the ground. The warriors climbed aboard the ship and began fighting the members of the crew who were still alive. Soon, the fighting stopped. The warriors began taking everything from the ship. At last, they brought a captive from deep within the ship. Two of the warriors had their captive by each arm. I wanted to see what new and strange form of life this creature would be. As they came near, I saw that it was a woman. She looked like a woman from Earth. She was young. Her skin was a light red, almost a copper color. I saw at once that she was extremely beautiful. She had a fine face, with large dark eyes and long black hair. As her guards led her away, she saw me for a moment. She seemed very surprised. Her face looked hopeful, but when I made no attempt to speak to her, her face grew sad, and she looked very small and frightened. As I watched her disappear into a building, I realized that Sola was near me.
John Carter, that woman will be saved for the great games that are held by our people. The games are long and cruel, and end in death for those captured in battle. Her death will be slow and painful. She will die for the enjoyment of all.
Sola's face seemed sad when she said this. I could tell by the way she spoke that she did not like the games and did not want to see the young woman die. She was very different from the rest of her people. Sola, do you not like the games?
No, John Carter. My mother died in the games. That is a secret you must not tell anyone. The wall where Tars Tarkas found you held eggs that produce our young. All the children belong to the tribe. A mother never knows which child is hers when they come out of the egg. My mother hid the egg that carried me. It was not placed within the walled area. She kept her secret until after I was born. But others discovered her secret, and she was condemned to die in the games. She hid me among other children before she was captured. If this secret were learned, I too would die in the games. Before she left me, my mother told me the name of my father. I alone keep that secret. It would mean death for him as well as me. My people are violent and cruel.
The next day I entered the great room where the green Martians held meetings. The red woman prisoner was there too. Soon, the leader of the green Martians came into the room. His name was Lorquas Tomel. He began speaking to the prisoner.
Who are you? And what is your name?
I am the Princess Deja Thoris, daughter of Mors Kajak, the ruler of Helium. Our airship was on a scientific flight. We were to study the air and atmosphere. Without our work, the air on our planet would grow thin and we would all die. Why would you attack us?
As she talked, a warrior ran to her and hit her in the face, knocking her to the ground. He placed a foot on her small body and began laughing. I reached for the small sword I carried and rushed to attack the huge warrior. He was a strong opponent, but again, because of the low gravity on Mars, my strength was far greater than his. In a few short minutes, the green warrior was dead. I helped the young woman to her feet.
Who are you? Why did you risk your life to help me? You look almost the same as my people, but you wear the weapons of a green warrior. Who or what are you?
My name is John Carter. I am from the planet Earth. How I got here is a long story. I attacked that warrior because where I come from, men do not attack women. I will offer you my protection as long as I can. However, I must tell you that I too am a captive.
Come, John Carter, and bring the Red Woman with you. Let us leave this room quickly before some warrior attempts to stop us.
The three of us quickly returned to the building where I had spent the last several days. Sola then left to prepare food. Wulla sat in the corner and looked at the both of us. The young woman was afraid of poor, ugly Wulla. I told her not to fear him. Wulla is not only my guard, he is my friend. I have treated him with kindness that he has never known. As each day passes, he trusts me more. I now think he would follow any command I give. Sola has told me that all captives are held until they can die in the great games held by the green Martians. Our only chance to survive is to escape, but we must have Sola's help for our plan to succeed.
Yes. If we stay with the Green Warriors, we will both die. If we are to escape, we will need several of the animals to ride. It will be our only chance.
I have several of the animals. They were given to me when I became a warrior. Sola came back later with food for the two of us. Deja Thoris and I asked for her help. The three of us talked long into the night. At last, Sola gave us her answer.
Your best chance for escape will be in the next 2 days. We will leave this city tomorrow and begin a long trip to the home of our tribe. I will help you escape, but I must come with you. I will be killed if you escape.
Sola, of course you must come with us. You are not cruel or violent, as many of your people are. Help us, and I can promise you a much better life. You will be treated with respect as an honored guest.
The next morning, we rode away from the city on our animals. More than 1,000 animals were carrying the huge tribe of green Martians. Also in the group were one American, one princess of the royal house of Helium, our guard Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. Late that night we left the camp. One animal carried me, another Sola and Princess Deja Thoris. Wula followed close behind. We rode quickly through the Martian night. I looked into the sky and saw Earth across the great distance of space. Since I had met the Princess Deja Thoris, I had not thought once of Earth or home. I knew then that I would never willingly leave her. The next morning I could see that we were being followed by several hundred of the green warriors. Our animals were very tired. I knew we must stop. I told Sola and the princess to take the stronger of the two animals and ride away. I will hold back the green warriors as long as I can. Wula, go with them and guard them with your life.
We can't leave you alone. It would be certain death if you are captured again. You must come with us.
Sola took the princess by the arm and lifted her on top of the animal she had chosen. Quickly, she began riding away. For a moment, Wula looked at me, then turned and ran after them. I took out my rifle from its case. I began firing to slow the green warriors. I was able to slow them for more than an hour, but then I had no more ammunition. Soon, I was surrounded. A green warrior got off his animal and came toward me. He pulled out his long, thin sword. I reached for mine. As we neared each other, I saw it was Tars Tarkas. He stopped and spoke to me. Very slowly.
You will die here today, John Carter. It is I who must kill you. Know that I will take no pleasure in your death.
You have been listening to the special English program, American Stories. This has been the third program in our series, A Princess of Mars, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. This story was adapted for Special English by Paul Thompson. It was produced by Paul Thompson and Mario Ritter. Shep O'Neill was the voice of John Carter. Steve Ember was Tars Tarkas. Barbara Klein was Sola. And Gwen Uten was the Princess Deja Thoris. Join us again next week as we continue A Princess of Mars in VOA Special English.